This is Craig Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Ed Whalen, who's president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center here in Washington. He's also a former Supreme Court law clerk for Justice Antonin Scalia. As the Senate Judiciary Committee prepares to vote today on the Supreme Court nomination of Elena Kagan, we want to get Mr. Whalen's analysis of whether she's really worthy of a spot on the highest court in the land. And Ed, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Well, what we saw, of course, in that week of confirmation hearings leading up to the 4th of July weekend was a very careful testimony. She really didn't go out on a limb on very much, and that's become the pattern, really, on Supreme Court nominations. Most of the concern about her stems from the Harvard case, as well as some of the opinions that she shared in the White House counsel's office in the Clinton administration. What strikes you most about her record and whether or not she should be on this court?
Well, I'd emphasize two things about her record. First is her remarkable lack of experience. It's not simply that she has never been a judge. She also has a grand total of real-world legal experience that amounts to, you know, 5 or 6 years. So we've had in the past, of course, justices who haven't had previous judicial experience, but they've generally had a remarkable amount of real-world legal experience, and Elena Kagan has neither. So I think that is a very telling point. Secondly, although she has a record that is silent on a broad range of issues, where we do see signals of her views, the pattern is clearly hard left. There's been a lot of discussion of the of her actions against military recruiters on the Harvard campus. Beyond that, she took actions as Solicitor General when it was her duty to vigorously defend federal laws. She acted to undermine the Don't Ask, Don't Tell law and also to undermine the Defense of Marriage Act. So she was sabotaging the very laws that she was obligated to defend, and I think was clearly indulging her and the Obama administration's ideological biases in doing so. And I think when we look more broadly, we see all these signs that she will do exactly what President Obama's empathy standard would reflect, that is, she will ignore rights and limits on government power that stand in the way of the Obama administration, and she will entrench rights on same-sex marriage, for example, to advance the left's agenda. So I think it's a very disturbing picture overall.
Talk a little bit more about those cases where you believe she's undermining existing law. Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which obviously goes back to her days at Harvard. We know her position on that. You mentioned also the Defense of Marriage Act, which was recently struck down by a federal judge in Boston. What about her handling of that issue and maybe even that particular case makes you believe she's undermining that?
Sure. Well, let me start with the Defense of Marriage Act. Elena Kagan has acknowledged that she was involved in the decisions on how to brief cases involving challenges to the Defense of Marriage Act, including the Massachusetts case that you refer to. And what the Obama administration did in those cases is it put up a token defense. It said, we oppose the Defense of Marriage Act. We think it's discriminatory. We're going to abandon the major justifications that have been offered for it. For example, the Obama administration said, we don't think there's any rational connection between the interests in procreation and childbearing and defense of traditional marriage. And Elena Kagan was part and parcel of the process that basically threw the Defense of Marriage Act overboard. Oh, sure, they gave themselves room to, fool us yokels into thinking that they were actually offering a defense. But as the Massachusetts judge found, they were abandoning these arguments that in other courts have been successful. Indeed, a prominent supporter of same-sex marriage described the Department of Justice's position as a gift to the gay marriage movement and said that the Department of Justice was helping to knock a leg out from under the defense of traditional marriage. Well, the Solicitor General is supposed to be defending federal laws, not undermining them, but that's exactly what she did in these cases.
We're talking with Ed Whalen. He's the president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center here in Washington, former Supreme Court law clerk for Justice Scalia. A couple of other subjects before we let you go here, Ed. Number one, a figure that we probably didn't expect to get involved in this debate has, and that's the former Surgeon General of the United States, C. Everett Koop, who points out that, as he sees it, during her time in the Clinton administration, Kagan actually manipulated evidence related to partial birth abortion when an institution said there basically was no medical necessity for a partial birth abortion. She basically had them rework their material to suggest that there was a medical necessity for that sometimes. What can you tell us about that, and what does that tell us about her character or her approach to the law?
Well, it's a very interesting issue that would be a national scandal if a conservative lawyer had conspired with a conservative scientific group to do what Elena Kagan did. Look, one can say arguably Elena Kagan was just being a very effective staffer, but what she did is work behind the scenes with the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists to rewrite their statement, and she regarded their initial view of the lack of need for this partial birth abortion method as a disaster for the administration. She drafted language that she then got them to adopt. Courts viewed this as a purely scientific statement, untinged by politics. And it was on that basis that the state partial birth bills initially were struck down. So this shows, I think, that Elena Kagan is very savvy at going to whatever lengths to advance the agenda of the left. And it also reflects more broadly, I think, on the politicization of science by the left, something that conservatives are usually falsely accused of, but that is more broadly a feature of the left, especially when it comes to issues like abortion.
Final question before we let you go. Ed, it's clear from your analysis that you wouldn't be in support of this nomination. Do you believe it's worthy of a filibuster attempt, and do you get the sense that Republicans in the Senate are ready to do such a thing?
Well, I personally have opposed and will continue to oppose the judicial filibuster. Look, what we need and what this ought to awaken people to is the urgency of getting a good president elected in 2012. This court is very close to going south in a way that could be unrecoverable during our lifetimes, and I think would wreak serious damage on our nation. We need to get someone who will make good nominations and get senators who will support good nominees.
Ed, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, as always, for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Ed Whalen, president at the Ethics and Public Policy Center here in Washington, former Supreme Court law clerk for Justice Antonin Scalia. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.